Well, as you guys are finding your seats, one of the first things that we're going to do is say the Lord's Prayer all together. And not just to say it, but to that Jesus told us that this is the way that you should pray. If you don't know it, it is on the back of the bulletin. So if we'll bow our heads and join me in prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. Amen. Amen. So, good morning. I love to be here with you all. I'm really glad I'm not preaching to the crickets today, because I realize it's Labor Day weekend, and I know a lot of people go out of town, and I've also been in prayer this week for the people of Texas, as Andy talked about earlier, with Hurricane Harvey that has just come through. And I don't know if you guys have heard yet on the news, but North Korea did another nuclear test today. So, the world is in need of a lot of prayer because we live in a cursed and fallen world. But I'm so thankful that God shared his capacity to bring order and form in the midst of chaos. And I've been thanking him this week for the people who are on the front lines, who are bringing order and hope in very difficult times. So this is our last week of deep diving into our core values and from the Great Commission. Today is teach, so I thought I would teach you something. Okay, I need a volunteer. Anybody at all? Buddy's like, no, not me, don't point at me. Anybody at all? Don't worry, you don't have to do anything crazy or weird. You just have to fold some paper. That's it. Now, you guys can also participate because on the bench, I have a sheet of square paper. There should be some at the end. If there's some, pass them around if everybody doesn't have one. Don't worry, it's not going to be too weird. I'll let you hold the paper though. Okay, so this is Origami 101. And I do have a reason for this madness. So if you'll just humor me for a few minutes. Now, buddy, you're going to take this piece of paper and you're going to turn it into a paper crane, a bird, just like this. It actually flaps its wings, okay? All right, and I want all you guys to try this too, from your seats, if you're willing. Buddy's like, why did I sign up for this? Okay, so I'm going to help you, though. I'm standing right here, okay? Yes. And I've shown you the example, so we know what we're shooting for, okay? All right, in fact, I've already folded, can you mind if I take it? I've already folded the creases. So if you guys would like to at your seats, you can fold it in half the other way, and then along the diagonals. You can do it and just create creases and then unfold it, okay? So we'll give them a second to do that. But while they're doing that, yeah, along the halves and along the diagonals. And then you're just, yep, halves and diagonals. Okay. That's good that you asked questions, Jules. We're going to talk about that later. So, the next thing you're going to do, this is a tricky part. It's okay if you can't get it. Don't worry. I will not test you on making paper cranes. So, the next thing you're going to do is you're going to pinch it all in and make a diamond like that. So, along the horizontal, you're going to pinch it and bring it into a diamond shape. And then press it flat so it opens up kind of on each side. So, I just want you to go ahead and do that. There you go. That's it. Yep. You got it.
Oh, I didn't do the flat.
Go ahead and flatten it.
Just.
Yep. Just lay it flat. That's it. Nope, just like that. Just like that.
Okay.
All right. Okay. I'm going to keep moving with Buddy. You know, he's the one up here who's all the pressure is on, okay? So now we're going to fold it into a kite just by taking this piece and folding it into the middle. So I'm going to do this one for you, and I'll let you do the rest, okay? Just like that, in the middle. Okay?
Okay.
So you do the other one. Just fold it into the middle. Yep.
Is this one of the things you should do like this?
No, we're making a bird.
Okay, that
is hilarious. No, wait, you're coming. Come here, buddy. You got to stay up here. Oh, you're good. No, we can't show them. We don't have time to show them. So we're going to keep moving because that's part of what we're going to talk about in a minute. And so we've done this on the front, and now we're going to do it on the back. So we're just going to flip it over and do the same exact thing on the back. So I'll do the first one like I did last time, and you do the next one. And you might notice that I am helping him out with some of the steps, making some of the creases here. And the next thing we're going to do is just a pre-crease thing. So we're just going to fold this top down, crease it, and fold it back the other way. So I'm going to do that part for you. Okay? All right. Now, here comes the craziest part of the whole thing, because this is where we get the body of the bird, right? You get see that flap right there?
Yeah.
We're going to lift it up, and at the pre-crease that we made, we're going to put our other finger, and it's going to open up into a wing. Okay? So, Buddy's going to do this on the other side. How many people have given up already? Okay, all right, just checking. We're almost done now. We only got a few more steps, so you go ahead and open it up on that crease. Just like I did.
Okay.
The crease you made, you didn't make the crease, so you don't know, and that's okay. That's good, yeah. And now you just open it up and push it down like this. See how that folds open? Good job, that's it. You got it, but you see what I'm saying. Now, so look, Jules made something else. I don't even know what that is. We're going to talk about that in a minute, too. All right. And so the last part of this, making the head and the tail, you're going to open up the side, and you're going to put your finger right in the heart of that bird. And then you're going to bend this up. It's a little bit difficult because it doesn't want to bend that way, but you're going to bend it that way, right on the heart. And then you're just going to squeeze it together. It makes a little tail like that. So you're going to do that on the other side. So open it up, stick your finger right on the heart of it, and bend it up. Buddy's doing great, y'all. Give him a round of applause. hey, that was it. That was good. You even bent it out. Perfect. Okay. And then the only thing you have to add is the little head, and it's a tiny little movement at the end. It's just like folding in the side. And look, I think yours is going to work. Look at this.
He flies.
So,
okay.
Good job, buddy. This is all yours. It's all yours. So,
I get to show Mikey what he's.
That's right. You guys might have noticed Buddy's looked a little bit rougher than mine. I've had lots of practice. I learned this in third grade, so I've been making paper cranes for a while. Now, could you guys all hold up your paper cranes? I wish I had my camera with me. Yeah, okay. We got some squares. She's like, I'm not holding it up again. I love you, Margie. So... did anybody actually wind up with a crane? Anybody at all? Have you ever done this before? Had no idea what you were doing, right? That's good. That's what I was hoping to pick, something nobody knew how to do. Aw, that's so sweet. Buddy's so generous. Okay, so this was a demonstration that it didn't really matter if you did it or you just crumbled it up and you threw it away. but the good news is you will not need to know how to make a paper crane as a disciple of Christ, nor will you need to teach others how to make paper cranes. But the process and the emotions that you went through while I was teaching you how to make a paper crane are critical as we walk in discipleship with Jesus. So first of all, for example, when I began teaching, I showed you the finished product. I showed you what we were aiming for. I showed you what it was supposed to look like when we finished, and you immediately recognized it as a crane. But some of you, when I held this up, were like, are you serious? Is she seriously asking us to do this right now? And some of you were possibly thinking, I'm going to beast this. I'm going to make this bird, and it's going to happen. It's going to be the best paper crane I've ever seen. But some of you have thought, you know, you were completely apathetic. You were like, I really don't care, Naomi. I don't want to make a bird this morning. It means nothing. So as disciples of Christ, we can feel like that as well. So during the first few weeks of this core value series, I've been holding up our perfect example in Christ as a disciple. And our goal, our vision, our great commission as a body of believers comes directly from God, the greatest teacher, the only good teacher, who showed us our goal through Christ himself. And then he told us he would send his Holy Spirit to urge us and convict us into all righteousness. So do you remember how you felt when you held up your paper crane? And it didn't quite meet the mark of what a paper crane was supposed to be. That is the gap that Jesus bridges for us, because none of us are going to be perfect disciples. He is the only perfect disciple who has ever lived. But do any of us have similar reactions when we hold up Jesus as the perfect example? I can't do that. Why even try? No way. I could never be like him. Or I'm so good at this, I'm going to be everybody at being like Jesus. Do we have a pride about how we follow Jesus? Or do we have an apathy? Who cares? Why does it matter? So holding up Jesus as the perfect example isn't meant to shame us, frustrate us, or alienate us. He's the one who saves us. It's meant to inspire us, to teach us more about who he is, how much he loves us, and how much he wants us to experience the great joy and love that he has. And so secondly, while we were making this bird, you had to trust that I knew how to take you from a flat sheet of paper to a paper crane. Most of you, while I was doing this, were leaning forward, focusing on every word. Jules asked questions. But I drew one of you closer. With Buddy standing up here, I literally was taking the paper with him, showing him where to fold. I had pre-creased his paper because I knew the path we were supposed to take. How much easier but less instructive would it have been if I would have just folded the paper crane for Buddy? Or on the opposite side of that, how difficult would it have been if I would have only used words like I was doing with the majority of you, which is what we kind of hold up as the only teaching in Christianity, which is using words. Instead of actually coming close and using my hands to help in places, you had to trust the one teaching you. Listen, watch closely, and attempt it yourself. It's exactly the same with discipleship. It's a hands-on, coming close, allowing access to those you lead, using words and actions, time and patience. And I had to correct Buddy several times when he was making a wrong fold, but it was out of love because I wanted him to reach the goal of what we were striving towards. And sometimes, do you guys remember the part where I told Buddy to place his finger on the heart of the bird and bend it, even though it didn't want to bend that way? Sometimes as disciples, it requires us to put our fingers directly on the heart of the matter, the tender heart of the matter, and bend in a way that God wants us to bend, even though we don't feel like it. So third, just as in discipleship, there is an outcome to the effort expended. So we each wound up with something, right? Whether or not that was a paper crane, it looked like something. And my goal was to teach you how to make a paper crane as well as I could make them, because I'm not perfect at making them. I have enough experience to make them well. I taught you everything I knew, sharing bits of wisdom about how I had learned. And in discipleship, our goal isn't to make cookie cutter disciples who act, look, and feel the same about everyone and everything. That is not our goal. Did you notice that each one of your cranes came out differently, and you even started with varying patterns of paper? Literally, every person's pattern was different than every other person. So uniformity is essential when it comes to our goal and our vision. Essential. And when it comes to being a disciple of Jesus. However, diversity is essential for the different roles within the body of Christ. So some of you were very precise and good at making the creases. Who was good at making creases? Come on, you can admit it. That's right. And some of you are good at laying the groundwork for successful ministry. Some of you were very focused on the process. as some of us are great at showing others the way. Some of you were very creative and made different shapes, like you. But you could intuit different ways of doing things to achieve the same result. Some of you are laughing. And that is a great thing, because some of us are wonderful reminders that joy is something that our Father gives us through the journey. And as believers, we are each gifted to build up the body of Christ. You have a place that can't be filled by anyone else. And your paper crane or your work is unique to you. But we all work with the same spirit, toward the same goal, the same vision given to us by the only good teacher, God himself. So by the end of the folding, some of us had birds and some of us had crazy pieces of paper, but don't worry. Fortunately for some of you, I am not correlating origami skills to being a disciple of Jesus. What I am saying is that only God knows what our ultimate outcome will be. Paul, who was a teacher, even said when he was talking about how his teaching compared to other teachers in 1 Corinthians 4, this would be like one of you comparing your bird to another person. Paul said in 1 Corinthians 4, I do not even judge myself in this matter. The Lord is the one who judges me. So I provided this little example simply as a way to show that teaching is far more than me getting up here every Sunday morning and speaking. Just as it was far more to Jesus than giving the Sermon on the Mount. He lived every word he spoke and fulfilled every command he gave and came close to those he taught and encouraged them through their feelings and struggles and corrected them when they went wrong. And I had never noticed this before, but we are all asked to teach in the Great Commission. Every single one of us, regardless of whether we have been given a gift of teaching, which we're going to talk about in a minute. So that's what I want to explore more about today from 1 Corinthians 12. Because whether we realize it or not, we will all teach others in different ways through our lives and our words about who God is. When we publicly profess we are a Christian, people look at us and they will learn from us what our lives are teaching them. So we teach others what we believe by the way we interact and respond. And it's critical as disciples of Christ that we learn and teach from his truth alone to become fully mature disciples. In fact, the writer of Hebrews expressed frustration with believers who stopped learning and teaching. Hebrews 5:11 says, and I could just imagine if this were written to me, and maybe it is, so maybe that's why I'm reading it today. But we have much to say about this, but it is hard to make it clear to you because you no longer try to understand. In fact, though by this time you ought to be teachers, you need someone to teach you the elementary truths of God's word all over again. You need milk, not solid food. Anyone who lives on milk, being still an infant, is not acquainted with the teaching about righteousness. But solid food is for the mature, who by constant use have trained themselves to distinguish good from evil. So that would be like if I had brought Buddy up and he'd made a paper crane, and then I'd be like, okay, now we're going to do this again. And we're going to do this again. And we're going to do this again. Until soon, he is trained in constant use to distinguish what is right and what is wrong. So today, we're going to read from 1 Corinthians 12. We're going to have it on the screen. It's 4 through 31. And I pray that as you would listen and I would listen, as though Paul is writing directly to us, to you and me, because he is, because we are the body of Christ. So 1 Corinthians 12:4. There are different kinds of gifts, but the same Spirit distributes them. There are different kinds of service, but the same Lord. There are different kinds of working, but in all of them and in everyone, it is the same God at work. Now to each one, the manifestation or the display or the expression of the Spirit is given for the common good. To one, there is given through the Spirit a message of wisdom. To another, a message of knowledge, which kind of sound like the same thing, but they're slightly different. To know something is different than to have the wisdom about something. So to know something is like a fact or data. The wisdom is the ability to put that fact, those facts and data to use in the right way at the right time. Okay, so let's see. I lost my place. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by that one Spirit. To another, miraculous powers. To another, prophecy. To another, distinguishing between spirits. To another, speaking in different kinds of tongues. And still another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are the work of one and the same Spirit, and he distributes them to each one just as he determines. So we don't get to choose what gifts we are given. So just as the body, though one, has many parts, but all its many parts form one body, so it is with Christ. For we were all baptized, we talked about this last week, by one Spirit so as to form one body, whether Jews or Gentiles. Gentiles essentially means everybody who's not a Jew, slave or free. And we were all given the one Spirit to drink. Even so, the body is not made up of one part, but of many. And I love these next two sections that Paul has, because this is critical to us as a community of believers. I've been in communities where this is not done well. Now, if the foot should say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. And if the ear should say, because I'm not an eye, I do not belong to the body, it would not for that reason stop being part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would the sense of hearing be? If the whole body were an ear, where would the sense of smell be? But in fact, God has placed the parts in the body, every one of them, just as he wanted them to be. If they were all one part, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, but one body. And so now he's just spoke about how there have to be different parts. We need eyes and ears and feet and hand. But there's also a problem that we can encounter when we do have different work. The eye cannot say to the hand, I don't need you. And the head cannot say to the feet, I don't need you. On the contrary, those parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And the parts that we think are less honorable, we treat with special honor. And the parts that are unpresentable are treated with special modesty. While our presentable parts need no special treatment. But God has put the body together, giving greater honor to the parts that lacked it, so that there should be no division in the body, but that its parts should have equal concern for each other. If one part suffers, every part suffers with it. If one part is honored, every part rejoices with it. Have you guys ever gotten an injury on your index finger? It's a very small part of your body, but it's very annoying. When your finger hurts, it's like your whole body has a problem. And if you think about athletes that are really good at doing something specific with their hands, like throwing, their whole body gets the honor for that, not just their hand, because it's good at throwing. Just like in the body of Christ. Now you are the body of Christ, and each one of you is a part of it. And God has placed in the church, first of all, apostles, second prophets, third teachers, then miracles, then gifts of healing, of helping, of guidance, and of different kinds of tongues. Are all apostles, are all prophets, are all teachers, do all work miracles, do all have gifts of healing, do all speak in tongues, do all interpret? Now eagerly desire the greater gifts. Essentially saying, it's great that we have different gifts and we should celebrate every different gift and not try to put one above the other, that it's not at all how the kingdom of heaven works. And then the very last verse I love, because it leads into chapter 13, and it says, and yet I will show you the most excellent way. And Paul goes on in chapter 13 to say that the most excellent way is love. Regardless of which expression of the Spirit you were given, knowledge, wisdom, healing, tongues, without love, it is nothing. And I would be remiss as a teacher, as your pastor, if I didn't also mention that it's possible to use our gifts to pursue our own agenda and benefit ourselves without including God. Nowadays, we call this commodifying the gospel, selling it for a price, building our own kingdom instead of God's kingdom, just as in the parable, the story of the talents. Talents actually meant like a year's worth of salary. And Jesus tells this parable about talents where they were praised by their master upon his return. But the one who had hidden his talent and stored it away wasn't just reprimanded, but he was thrown into the darkness. So a faithful servant takes what the master gives and does what the master asks with it. And the beautiful part is that God is so generous in allowing us to work with him that we get to share in the joy of his good work. So whatever gifts we are given, and I know some of you are sitting here now today, or you might be thinking, I have no gifts at all. I have no idea what this could be. But scripture promises us that when his Holy Spirit enters us, we have a gift that we are given. And so whatever gifts we are given, we all teach the world about our one God who provides it all. And the purpose of this gift is not so we will feel good about ourselves. That may happen. We might feel good about the way that God has made us, and I don't think that's an evil thing. But the purpose is to glorify him, to show, to teach others in the world that there is a God who loves them and wants to be in relationship with them. So as we go and make and baptize and teach, my honor as a teacher is to equip and encourage you in not just identifying the gift that God has given you from Scripture, but also using it in the world to make a difference for God so that people will see him through you. And so you can do the work that God has planned for you. So Acts 5:42 says, day after day in the temple courts and from house to house, they never stopped teaching and proclaiming the good news that Jesus is Messiah. So as a church body, since we are called to teach, we have outlined some ways that we are going to teach. These are found on our website, or if you'd like to take notes, feel free to do so. But number one on the list, the way that we teach is by learning from the only good teacher, God himself, through Scripture, and believing what he wants us to know about him, ourselves, and the world. So by learning from the only good teacher through Scripture and believing what he wants us to know about him, ourselves, and the world, it's essential that we realize our perspective is skewed in our natural selves. And it takes humility to say, I'm wrong. I don't know how to do this. Just like with the paper crane, you had to admit, I don't know how to take this paper and make it into a paper crane. And so I'm going to have to listen and learn how to do that before I can teach somebody else what that looks like. Number two, by equipping ourselves with truth and wisdom and applying his word. And that applying is key, because I had a friend once who complained about everything, and people would try to help her. They would give her, it was mainly parenting stuff that she kind of complained about. And she would talk to them like that wasn't the problem. And she would listen to them. But she would always respond with, oh, I've tried that. Or, oh, that's not for me. Or, well, that wouldn't work because I'm not that kind of person. She wanted the attention and listen, but wasn't willing to actually put into practice what she was taught. So I know I've been like that in my life as well. And I remember saying at one point, I'm not that kind of person, as if I would never be that kind of person. But if the God of the universe wants to refine you and make you into that kind of person, then he has the power and the ability to change you into what he wants you to be. Thank God I am not that kind of person that I used to be 10 years ago. I mean, I'm not an organized person. I'm not in my flesh. But who am I to tell God that he can't make me an organized person? And I mean, he allowed me to marry one of the most organized people I know to teach me. And God has used him to refine me. So now that when people meet me, they call me organized. And I'm like, no, that is Jesus. And I know that Andy is still shocked to hear when other people call me organized because he knows the truth as well. So number three, we teach by allowing God to correct us, our sin, and we have to humble ourselves when he points it out instead of being prideful against it. Humility is key in teaching and learning. It's called having a teachable spirit, something my friend I was talking about didn't have. A teacher learns just as much from the students as the student learns from the teacher. Before I stand up in front of you each week, I have read and prayed for many hours, and I learn a lot. But I learn even more when I'm actually in community with people, because it's one thing to read it or to hear it, but it's another thing to actually put it into practice. And that's why I can't wait until we get to Start Life Group on September 12th, where I'm not up here talking the whole time, though I do love teaching and speaking. I can't wait to hear stories about how God is moving in your heart and your life to teach you something new that I never even thought of in the message I was speaking, but maybe a sentence that he used to inspire you to obey him that week. So great teachers are honest about their struggles and their successes. Because I also want to hear if God is not moving in your life and why you think that is. We don't want to have a holy huddle where we're all just talking about how great we're doing and how great everything it is when things back at home are a war zone. And number four, by daily reminding ourselves that we all need the gospel of Jesus Christ. So you might get frustrated with me. I know you're not yet. I hope. It's only 4 weeks in. If you are, we need to talk. But you might get frustrated with me because I might repeat myself or go over something you have heard before. Sometimes I will do it on purpose. Sometimes it will be because I have a husband, 3 children, and I'm pursuing a master's degree, and I'll just forget. But there is something I will repeat a lot that I will never apologize for. And I'm okay if you get mad at me for it. And that is the good news of Jesus Christ. I love the old hymn. I love to tell the story. It will be my theme in glory to tell the old, old story of Jesus and his love. Every one of us needs to find comfort every day in John 3:16. For God so loved the world that he sent his only begotten son, that whosoever should believe in him will not perish, but will have everlasting life. Because the more we teach ourselves and others and ingest this truth, the more we love God and others from a place of humble gratefulness that we get to be adopted into his family by the blood of Christ alone. So regardless of whether you have a gift of teaching, we are all called to teach with our words and lives, to show and tell the world that there is a God who wants to be in relationship with them. Because every person needs God so desperately. We are dead in our sins without him, Ephesians says. The world needs disciples who teach the love of God with their hearts, their heads, and their hands. Syria, Houston, Myanmar, Yemen, Iraq, Afghanistan, Wilkes County. And these are just this week's headlines. We have all these images of death and destruction scrolling on our TV and news feeds, sometimes playing out in our own homes. We claim to live in a civilized world, but there are more refugees in the world now than there have ever been, and there are more slaves in the world now than there have ever been. In any time in history. That is why we want to reach out internationally, not just locally, as a church. There are millions murdered through abortion and atrocities glorified in our media and online. And yet, as a nation, we can't seem to name the solution for ending all of this depravity. And it's because we don't want to see the truth staring at us in the faces of the children and men and women who are tortured and killed. The truth that we are a sinful and fallen race, dead in our sin and slaves to our true enemy, blind to the fact that no amount of medication, aid, money, civil discourse, education, or prestige can free us. Humanity can't admit the true enemy because they do not want to admit the true Savior, who has already provided the victory. And that is the part that hurts me the most. The solution is already present. People just need to know him. And how can they know him unless we go? And how do we go and tell them about the gospel? Because I don't know what the world would look like if it was full of faithful Christians. But I do know what it looked like when a single Christ man walked in perfect love all the days of his life. And he changed everything. So you and I have the opportunity to join him wherever we are, to teach his truths as painters and real estate agents and baristas and hosts and educators and admins, as stay-at-home parents and accountants. If he has given you breath, he has given you an abundant life to be lived without fear. So stop learning from this world what it is you should and shouldn't be doing, and instead turn to the one who created your soul. So before we go, we must come. And before we make, we must be made. And before we baptize, we must first be baptized. And before we teach, we must first learn. So let's pray. Father, I'm so thankful for your word and for your Holy Spirit. That, Father, you are present with us here and now in this place, and that you will go with us from this place. And I pray that whatever you have stirred in our hearts today, that it wouldn't be something, Father, that we quench or stifle, but Father, that it would be something that we proclaim with all our might through our words and our actions, that you are our Savior and you are the one that the world needs. So, Father, I pray that you would give us boldness and courage to speak out, Father, when there is injustice, to speak out for those who don't have a voice, but also, Father, to reach out with our hands and to teach others what it's like to be a disciple of yours, Father, a son and a daughter of the Most High and Holy God. We love you, Father. We thank you for all of these things. And it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Amen. So today is a big day because we have laid the foundation of our church body, which is Christ himself. And we have discovered the four core values from the Great Commission and what they will look like for us as we live in a community, because this is just the beginning. We've waited till today to ask you for a commitment because we wanted you to know the same vision that God had given us as for a fellowship. And so we wanted you to come in with eyes wide open, not to join something that you weren't sure about or that you weren't quite sure where we were headed. So today we want to ask you to consider officially joining us as a faith family in Christ. Though we are all part of one large family of Christ, that this body of believers would become like our nuclear family, the core of where we invest our time and resources. And this is the way that we will do membership here at the Foundation Church. So we prefer and will use the term faith family, reflective of the body of Christ being called a family of believers from Scripture. And Andy is going to hand out a simple card. And I know some of you are visiting today, so don't worry about filling out. But this just lets us know if you are officially all in. And if you don't know yet, that's okay too. You don't have to fill that out today. There is no pressure. I did discover we have to do this as a church so we can protect not just the leadership of our church, but making sure that no one can come in and make decisions for us. As a official nonprofit. So that's one reason why we have to do this. But it also lets us know who we're investing in and how we're going to build into the community that God has brought together for himself. And it's also something we will offer to anyone new who joins us and inquires about our fellowship. So Andy and I are already so blessed that we get to be in fellowship with each one of you, regardless of where God leads you from here. And if you have questions today about this or about Christianity in general, I will be in the gathering place with coffee. Andy will be outside. And you can either drop those in the tithe box or you can hand them to us either way. And also, can you put your birthday on there? I would love to know when people's birthdays are, and I have no idea. So I didn't put a thing on there for that. I know, I just thought about it. I was like, I really want to know when their birthday is because I need to know that. You can choose not to put the year if you don't want to, though I might call you out for vanity. I'm just saying. I'm just joking. Jules, you're so young. You don't even have to. Oh, my goodness. So I pray today that whatever God has put on your heart, as I said in my prayer, that he would use that to bring it out into the world. God bless you. I hope to see you all next weekend as we kick off our first sermon series. So I'm excited. Love you guys. We'll see you next week.